Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
And they shall be unto you cities for refuge for the avenger, that the manslayer may not die. How would you like to have that job, Jonathan, the avenger?
Yeah.
All you do is a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
It wasn't so much a bounty. It was, wasn't dead or alive, dead.
Right, and all you did was sit there and stare at a gate waiting on somebody to walk out.
Set your tent right outside the gate.
Yeah.
There's a story in here. A guy lived, he ran from an accidental death. He got refuge in the city, and one day his donkey ran away, I think.
Yep.
It's been like 15 years. I'm going to go get it. No. The law has no leeway. Once it's pronounced, it's pronounced. Until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall be have you for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any persons unaware, accidentally, or unintentionally may flee thither. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. If he smite him with throwing a stone wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. If he smite him with an hand weapon of wood wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred, or hurl at him by laying in wait, that he die, or in enmity smite him with his hand, that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death. So, it had to be it could not be a revenge slaying.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be by the law, and it's your job to do it. Even though maybe you didn't really want that job, but you have a duty to do it. But if in your heart, maybe the guy he killed you kind of liked, if in your heart there was any kind of attitude toward, I really want to see this guy dead, then you're guilty, and you'll be put to death too.
Right.
For he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or he cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with a stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him, he that die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whether he was fled, or he shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. So if you accidentally kill someone, you're still partially guilty and must stay in this city, and you can never leave there, or you'll be killed. But the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whether he was fled. The revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer. He shall not be guilty of blood. Interesting, thou shalt not kill, right? That's what you've heard all your life. No, it's thou shalt not murder. It was a misinterpretation. Killing is an essential part of life, especially in the law. The law requires many people to be killed for various reasons. But the law says if you are innocent, you shall not be killed. Thou shalt not murder. Murder requires innocence. Because he should have remain in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return unto the land of his possession. Can you imagine the records that must be kept? Astronomical amount of bureaucracy the law has brought. So this guy, say he accidentally kills somebody. You know, they're playing golf. He doesn't notice the other guy's still on the green. He whacks the ball, hits him right in the temple, and he dies.
Yep.
That easy. And I used to be a golf player, and I've almost been hit by balls. I've almost hit other people by balls.
Right.
And so I would have to flee to the city, explain my situation. They would decide, yes, okay, it was an accident, so you got to stay here forever or until the priest dies, the head priest.
Yeah, your entire life just changed. Yes.
So, let's say the head priest dies 5 years later. I say, yes, I can go home. So I just go trotting out, and the Avenger is waiting outside, and he sees me, and his records aren't updated.
Yeah, yeah, this just happened, right?
Yes. The papyri had not come in by mule train yet. And it doesn't say that he's to take him back for trial. Yep. He's to kill him on the spot.
Yep.
So, no. Yeah,
don't hesitate.
The chief priest died. I have not heard that information. Whack. So these things shall be for a statute of judgment unto the throughout your generations and all your dwelling. Whosoever killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of the witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Very important statute. Mm-hmm. By the word of one person, you will not be put to death.
Now, is this the establishment of the need for a jury?
It kind of heads that direction, yeah. But, I mean, the Bible goes on to say by the witness of two or three. So,
right. Is
that your jury there? Or witnesses. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. So, you shall not take satisfaction in it. You know, dying is not a pleasant thing, even a murderer. And ye shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled to the city for his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land until the death of the priest. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, the blood it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein. Interesting. Spiritual consequences, you know. And, you know, the Amish people, if someone is brutally murdered or dies of unnatural reasons in a house, they burn the house down, they block off the land with a fence. They know these things. That's what the Bible says right here. The land cannot be cleansed
right. Of
these things.
It's supposed to be a mind of Cain and Abel. His blood cries
blood
out.
Cried out to me, yeah.
Right.
And I tell you what, I believe in ghosts. I've seen and heard many, and they're terrifying. And there are reasons they are still here. But by the blood of him that shed it, defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit wherein I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. Chapter 36, the end of Numbers. Here with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.9, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. Glad you could be with us. And the chief fathers of the families of the children of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Joseph, came near and spake before Moses and before the princes of the chief fathers of the children of Israel. And they said, the Lord commanded my Lord to give the land for an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. And my Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, unto his daughters. We talked about that one yesterday. The first time women had ever been given possessions, they were always possessions themselves. And if they be married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the children of Israel, then shall their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers, shall be put in the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall it be taken from the lot of our inheritance. And when the jubilee of the children of Israel shall be, then shall their inheritance be put unto the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. And Moses commanded the children of Israel according to the word of the Lord, saying, the tribe of the sons of Joseph hath said well. What you guys said is good. We're going to lose land over this deal. This is the thing which the Lord doth command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best, only to the family of the tribe of their fathers shall they marry. So they are only allowed to marry into the tribe of their fathers. So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And every daughter that possesseth an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be wife unto one of the family of the tribe of her father, that the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his fathers, all the way back to the blessing that Jacob put on the patriarch of that tribe. Neither shall the inheritance remove from one tribe to another tribe, but every one of the tribes of the children of Israel shall keep himself to his own inheritance. Even as the Lord commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad, from Melah, Tizra, and Hoglah, and Milcah, and Noah. The daughters of Zelophehad were married unto their father's brother's sons. They were married unto the families of the sons of Manasseh, the sons of Joseph, and their inheritance remained the tribe of the family of their fathers. These are the commandments and the judgments which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses unto the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. Thus ends the book of Numbers. Sometimes laborious, once you've read the book multiple times, you will find things in there that will fascinate you. They will make other things seem clear. Oh, that's why they do this, you know? Mm-hmm. You got to read this book over and over and over again. Don't go see the Father. He's going to say, did you read my book? He's going to know the answer already. And you're going to say, well, I tried and I got to Leviticus and Numbers and I just fell asleep. Don't read it like that. Never start at the beginning. You know, read Genesis, absolutely. Then go and read some of the New Testament. Then flop back, read a little bit of Leviticus, and then go back to the New Testament. You know, read some Daniel, read some Joseph. Just jump all over the place, and it'll keep your attention, and you will learn vastly. Glad you could be here with us, Dave and Jonathan, on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, WBFF 97.7. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.